Blog Talk Radio.
You'll be good.
that we're part of a new creation that allow us to walk in you and talk in you and stay in you. Because we're no longer after the flesh, we're dead. But we're alive unto you, Heavenly Father. And we thank you for it. We thank you, Father, that before this broadcast is over this day, somebody will receive a mighty word. Someone will come to know that they're part of the incorruptible seed and not the corruptible seed. They'll come to know, Father God, that they have been redeemed from the curse of the law and the sin of death. They've been redeemed from that. We don't care what the outward look like, but we know that on the inside, Father God, Romans 8:37 says that we are more than conquerors. I decree it and declare it right now that my sisters and brothers that are part of this broadcast, you are free. Hallelujah. I just want you to say that, believe that, and walk in that. You may not see it all in one time, but I want you to know you go ahead on and decree it and declare even your children and your grandchildren are free. Hallelujah. They're free to walk in the power of God. I thank you, Heavenly Father, for that understanding. I thank you, Father God, that we're unwise in our own eyes, but when we have you, we're wise, Father God. We're wiser than Solomon. I thank you, Father God, for all that you are blessing us with. In this hour, we put your word before you, and we say, Heavenly Father, illuminate it in our spirit, man. In Christ Jesus, we pray. Amen. We're going to ask Evangelist Renee if she'll be so kind to give us a sandwich. Like she did. Well, she gave us a big one the other day. I want to say that was Tuesday. She gave us a big one. So we, you know, I have to give one a big hoagie, but be led by the Lord, huh?
Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. I guess we're going to go with the Texas text. We're going to get on that first play. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Long to one man. Look at me. I'm going to have to look at me. Still on the first piece of it. Psalms. 105, verse 3. Give thanks to the Lord and proclaim his greatness. Let the whole world know what he has done. Amen.
Amen.
Let that peace. Let me two verses today. My brain is moving faster than me. That was just one. Okay, this is still on the first week play. 2 Corinthians 10:5. We destroy every proud. We destroy every proud obstacle to keep people from knowing God. We capture their rebellion thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. We'll bring it. Well, no, we can put this. Yeah, we can do that. On the other piece of bread, we're going to put 59. But as long as for me, I will sing about your power each morning. I will sing with joy about your unfailing love, for you have been my refuge, the place of safety when I am in distress. Amen. And that was Psalms 59:16. One more verse for that second piece of it. See, God has come to save me. I will trust in him and not be afraid. Mm. The Lord God is my strength and my summer. He has given me victory. Okay, let's put some real meat. We're going to start with inside the bread. By his stripes we are healed. We are more than conquerors. I'm going to put Psalms 100, verse 1. For the Lord is good, his unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. We're going to go with my favorite, by his stripes we are healed. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens us. My mouth could be getting a little wide. I bite that sandwich now. Well, for one moment, God is good all the time, and all the time, God is good.
Yes,
enjoy.
Amen, amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much. Thank you, Renee. That's a gourmet
praise
sandwich
God.
For you on the side.
Yes.
And all that good. I thank God for it. Thank him for that word.
Did that satisfy your belly?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's did a whole lot for this appetite here. I like the pure word of God. I love it. Don't know if I want anything else other than the word of God. It has a way of sustaining me.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
The word of God looks with me like alcohol with an alcoholic. The word of God works with people like electricity due to a light bulb with hard. It's sort of like it does to me what gasoline does to an engine. You know, it just gets me going. I tell you, I don't know. I feel like one time I remember Evangelist Sharon said something that was so powerful and profound. Brothers and sisters, you do not and you cannot live without oxygen. You gotta have oxygen. Now, if you can imagine living without oxygen, explain that to me. And if you can't, that's something you got to have. But that's where the word of God is. I got to have it. I mean, some folks do
weak,
but I got to have mine, man. I got to have it. Well, hey, brothers and sisters, this is a review, and we're going to open up the studio this morning and the radio and all that good stuff for anybody that want to something touch them this week. And you want to share something, we're going to open it up right now for any scripture that you may have, and we'll go from there. Hallelujah. So anyone like to, and thank you again, Evangelist Renee, but the studio is open. Anyone like to have anything to say pertaining to this week's lesson, or if the Lord just got something on your heart, you need to speak it. Speak on. But he said, stay on. Anyone. Okay. All righty. Well, I want to start off by saying Christ does not want any kind of church. I'm going to say it again. He don't want no any kind of church. And he sure God don't want you built or your comrades or your squaddies or your fellow man or your whoever built, your brothers built, your sisters. Christ don't want that kind of church. And he's not part of that kind of church. He built his church. So I just want to throw that out there. Matthew 16. The kind of church Christ wants is a glorious church. And that's what he has, is a glorious church. Not only does he want that, he has that. And if you want to be part of Christ's church, you have to be part of this glorious church. Let me tell you something. There's only one true church. I was going to talk on this next week, but I'm going to put this out there now. There's only one true, and you can capitalize all of this here. You can capitalize one true church, capitalize all of it, because there's only one T-R-U-E church. There's only one true church.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know you see a lot of churches, but there's only one true church.
Mm-hmm.
The only way you can get in this church, God has to approve it. He examined you first.
Yes. Say that. Say
you
that.
Know that, huh? It has to be revealed by the Father. And as we do this, review this, today you'll see, even when we were talking in Isaiah, God who showed Isaiah who the church was.
Mm-hmm.
He showed Peter. He showed Peter over there in Matthew 16 who the church was. God
right.
has to tell you who he is. Jesus had to tell Paul. Why are you so against the church, Paul? Why are you kicking against the church, Paul? Paul said, who are you? I'm Jesus. I'm the Christ. Why are you kicking against the church? Paul had no idea. He did it out of ignorance. He was trying to build up the Sanhedrin Council. He was trying to build up the Pharisees because he was a Pharisee among Pharisees. He was trying to build up, you know, these Jews because he was a Jew from birth. So he was trying to build up that organization that was going on. He didn't really realize when he was going into those houses and bringing people out with chains on them. He didn't realize that he was actually against the church. He didn't know that.
Right.
But Christ had to catch him on the Damascus Road. And
yeah.
The Bible says a light shined from heaven, knocked him off the beast.
Mm-hmm.
And he had to show him. I'm Christ. I'm the one you... I'm the one. So, God has to show it to you, brother and sister. I love to show it to you, but unless he show you the real temple, you won't know the church. Because this
That's
is his
right.
word. Not mine, this is his. He said, blessed are thou, Simon Bojana. Flesh and blood did not reveal it to you. And what Christ did, he said, but my Father, which is in heaven. Brother and sister, stop persecuting Christ. Ask God for revelation knowledge. This ain't for everybody. I think a couple of people on here know who I'm talking about. Stop crucifying the church. Stop it, I say. I know you get angry because that's all I want to talk about. Oh, well, you go and listen to somebody that don't want to speak the truth. But I'm going to speak the truth as I know it, because there's only one true church. It is called, a lot of folks call it by a lot of names. It's the body of Christ, the bride of Christ.
Hallelujah.
God called it God's building, God's temple, God's the flock of Christ. But all of it is spiritual. We're peculiar people. That's the body of Christ. See, I want to show you what the church looked like. We are a chosen nation. Everybody hasn't been chosen for this church here. I'm sorry. You don't have enough money. You don't know enough folks. You're not that popular with God. You don't get chosen because you sit on the board of directors of a Fortune 500 company. That ain't how you get in this church. You can't do it because politically, you are a giant. That don't put you in this church, brothers and sisters. There is no application other than the fact that you got to see Christ beyond the flesh. But you will never see it through flesh. So keep on looking at these fleshly churches. You'll never see Christ. The Bible used the word church. Some people think in two senses, but in two senses. But I want you to know, brothers and sisters, when the Bible talk about church, he's talking about Christ's body. Now, some folks want to kind of make it seem like the assembly is a building. But when he said, fail not to assemble yourself together, he wasn't talking about in no building. So get that straight. And you talk to somebody don't know any better. But if you're talking to a student here, and I'll just consider myself a student or a novice, whatever you want to call it, but I know that the assembly was those who had gathered together in Christ's name. Now, I know that. I know what Acts 8 says. I know how some people was failing to assemble themselves. There wasn't, and some people went to the temple, but there was no need to go to the temple if you read John 4. That ain't where God wanted worship, wanted us to worship, no way. Read John 4, it's right there. He wants us to worship just like Moses did out there in the wilderness, and I'm going to show y'all this in the scripture too. Moses was in the wilderness. Wasn't nothing stopping surrounding him or hiding him from God. See, that's what that building does. It hides you from a true and living God.
And
you know that, didn't you? Yeah, they was hiding, man. That's what they did. You hide in the building.
Have mercy.
But the word church is talking about believers that in Christ. But remember now, there's only one spirit. There's only one body. You got to know that. So if it's one, why do you still think it's so many others? Well, that tells me that there's a lot of other false Christ. So Christ says, upon this rock I build my church. So I'm talking about Christ Church now. That's the one I want to be built part of. According to Hebrews 8:1-2. That's what I'm thinking. We had that one day. It might have been. Did we have that Monday? Yeah, I think we had that Monday. Hebrews 8:1. But before we go there, let me show you in Ephesians 5 that God wants that Christ and having nothing less than a glorious church. He ain't having nothing less. So if you're part of a church and it's not the glorious church, that's why I'm here to share now with you that the church is the body of Christ. Okay, it's not a building. I want to be clear with that. And if it's not a building, why are you faking? Why are you going in the building then? If that's not Christ's church, why are you going? That sound like fornication to me. And with some of y'all, it's adultery. Yeah, spiritually fornication. You know what it is to fornicate, though. Huh? You know what it is to fornicate? Yeah. You're enjoying, for those that may have children or something around here, you're enjoying the opposite sex without the commitment. That's fornication. Adultery is when you're leaving one to marry another. A lot of people leaving Christ to go marry an idol church, bricks and mortar and that kind of stuff. That's adultery. That's spiritual adultery. That's what it is. You left Christ so you can go and be in the choir. You left Christ so you can go and join the usher board. And then that becomes your focus, not Christ. See?
Have mercy, Lord.
See, the church is subject to Christ. So he gives this illustration about a wife, let a wife be subject to her own, O-W-N, her own husband in everything, the mouth in everything.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big word, brothers and sisters. Folks don't want to submit to Christ. And you can't be part of this Christ, this church, unless you submit. Why? Because God, Christ wants a glorious church. And with that being said, we're going to read Hebrews 8. Now, I don't know if I really covered that, what I was trying to cover, but let me go ahead on and find that 27th verse, so you'll see. It says that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. That's Christ's church right there. That's it right there. Yeah. And he's not going to do it over there. He's doing that now.
Yes.
Right now.
Amen.
That's what he's doing right now. He's presenting to himself a glorious church. He's cleansing it with the washing of the word. That's how he's doing this, brothers and sisters. If you think Christ got to wait till we die and get over there, you're badly mistaken. Because if you're part of Christ's church, you've already dead. You've already been crucified. Don't make me go to Galatians 2:20 and show you that. But anyway, Hebrews 8:1, so you can see this. Hebrews 8:1, I hear Evangelist Sharon, you, can you read? You're available to read? Okay.
Good afternoon, Pastor. Yes, I am. Please,
okay.
Hebrews 8:1, and the King James reads as follows.
And 2, I'm sorry. 8:1 and 2. 1 and 2, I'm sorry.
No problem. Praise God. I just wanted to say to Evangelist Renee that if nothing could wake up your spirit, that sandwich could wake you up for, fill you up for a very long time. Praise God. In the King James, it reads as follows. Now the things which we have spoken, this is the sum. We have such an high priest who is set on the right hand of the throne of your majesty in the heavens, a minister of the sanctuary and of the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Good afternoon, everyone. Amen. And Hebrews, the 8th chapter, verses 1 and 2 from the Message Bible. In essence, we have just such a high priest, authoritative right alongside God, conducting worship in the one true sanctuary built by God. Hallelujah. Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord.
And the King James Version said, and not by man.
That's right.
We need to put emphasis on that. So they'll know what church we're talking about. The true church is not built by man, brothers and sisters.
Mm-hmm.
If that's the case, the one Moses built would still be there.
Mm-hmm.
But that ain't what he told him to do. The true church that we're talking about is the same one over there in Acts 7:38. Let's go there.
In Acts 7:38, in the King James, it reads as follows. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel which spake to him in the Mount Sinai, and with our fathers to receive the lively oracles to give unto us. Amen.
Mm.
Amen, amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible. This is the Moses who stood between the angel speaking at Sinai and your fathers assembled in the wilderness and took the life-giving words given to him and handed them over to us, words our fathers would have nothing to do with. Amen.
No. That ain't what happened. They was in the big church building. This is he that was in the church in the wilderness.
In the
Christ in the church in the wilderness with the angel, which spake and said to him on Mount Sinai.
Yes. Amen.
That's where God's word was received, brother and sister, when he gave the oracles.
Yeah.
It was in the wilderness.
Yes. Amen.
Now, God wasn't pleased with them all. He really wasn't. Because some of them didn't want to believe.
Just like today.
They were trying to say Aaron was making them gods like Moses and brought up down here in this land to die. I mean, that's what happens when people don't get this revelation. They all kind of thoughts hit their mind. Why am I here? Why am I in this situation? Why is this happening? Listen, brothers and sisters, you got to die out of self. You'll never see the church. You'll never see the glorious church. Now, you might see some buildings. You may see some well-organized people. You may, but if you're going to be part of Christ, you must get crucified. Then you die. Then your spirit is risen. See, all this is spiritual.
That's right. That's right. Amen.
That's Galatians. That 2:20. Try to find Galatians 2:20. I don't know if we discussed that or not, but I want you to know the true church, brothers and sisters. Because, see, this true church is united in everything. We identify with Christ in everything.
Amen, amen.
Because you want a glorious church. And in order to have a glorious church, Paul said you got to crucify the flesh. And let me say this before I go there. When he's talking about crucifying the flesh, now this is for some of you scholars out there. He wasn't talking about the sex, the drinking. And you probably could add that to your little book or to your little basket, but that's not what he really talking about. He was talking about religious stuff. Because, see, that's what Paul was about. If you know anything about Paul, you didn't hear about his physical and social and all. No, Paul was a spiritual man. He was a man who was out there teaching about the Pharisees and scribes and Sadducees. He that became his life journey of work. He went before the council. It was 72 members that said, look here, y'all. I want power to go out there and stop this church stuff they doing. Give me some power to do that. Well, you had all these different nationalities. They said, well, hey, it's affecting all of us. So, Paul, we're going to give you a letter, and you can go. And you can go in these houses and bring them out. Chain them. See, Paul's life was about spiritual stuff, brothers and sisters. Praise him.
Yes, sir.
He wasn't about, like, really know why. Now, he knew about this stuff because he wrote about it. But his life was about spiritual. So he give these illustrations in the flesh to get you to come to where he's at spiritually. That's what that's about. Paul wasn't talking about his no wife. He ain't never talked about his wife. He ain't never talked about no children, no grandchildren. He ain't talking about that stuff. He talked about the spiritual stuff. So when you read this stuff, you got to read it with a spiritual mind.
Yes.
So when he's talking about crucifying the flesh, he's talking about that religious stuff. Get rid of those little bitty gods. Because that's what he was serving. He wants you to get rid of that stuff. And open your eyes to a true and living God.
Yes.
Not the building.
Yes.
Okay. you can read that for me, Evangelist Sharon.
It was Galatians
2:20. Yes.
I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I know live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. And from the Message Bible, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer sinful. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. I am no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but it is by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am not going to go back on that. Amen, amen.
Amen.
Now let me kind of put this in the right perspective. For those that didn't understand what I said while ago, let me say this to you because I want you to understand. Listen, brothers and sisters, Paul's life was a spiritual life. So what he said is, when I try to obey this religious stuff in the scriptures, maybe that stuff was killing me. I couldn't do it. But as a result, that I live in this relationship with Christ, I got crucified. I crucified my flesh. Nevertheless, I'm alive now. But yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. So when you understand in the church, if you don't know anything, you need to know Paul knew about the church. The very thing he crucified and punished was the very thing he fell in love with.
All right.
The very thing he wronged, he had to admit that he was wrong. It's about being in the church, and to being in the church is being in Christ.
Hallelujah.
I can't overemphasize what it means to be in Christ. There is one body.
Yeah.
Don't be bamboozled, brothers and sisters. One body. It makes up all the true believers, regardless or where they're at geographically, and I'm saying this because it's just not limited to those people that's not in the building, because there's a lot of people want to get out of the building, but they hadn't met me yet.
All right.
Y'all didn't hear that. I slid that in there. There's a lot of people. They want to come out of them buildings, but they don't know where to go.
Stay there.
And somebody like you and I, we got to direct them. See, if you're dead, you're not trying to live after the flesh. People who are living after the flesh, they ain't crucified it yet. They still care more about that than they do the word of God. But like me and you guys, I'm telling you, they need to meet you so you can get with them one-on-one. You can get with them and show them what the word of God say. They need to fellowship with somebody like-minded. They need to get with somebody who knows that the church is an organism and not an organization. See, they need to hear you say that. They need to know that the church is a living, vital
organ,
part of life that really exists. That's what an organism is. It has life in it. That building ain't got no life in it until you get there on Sunday and on Wednesday. And some of them trying to keep them open about 5 days a week. But let me tell you, like we learned over there in the book of Isaiah, I think it was from 9 to 13. Brothers and sisters, it ain't going to last too long. Believe me. Christ Church is about you. And it's not going to happen until you let the old guys die. The old guys have to die. Isaiah 6, we talked about that one day. I want to say we talked about that on, I know that it was that day that all that static stuff we had going on, that might have been Wednesday. We were trying to talk about it. But in Isaiah 6 and 1, we had so much static, and I'm just going to be honest with you all. The Holy Spirit told Pastor, so you tell Pastor Jesus here that he needs to do it all over. Don't be defeated with that. And so we brought it back first. And I was listening to the Spirit. And the Spirit told her that. And before I just said someone had made me. But I had a couple hits. But the real hit came from Pastor when God had spoke to her and told her, y'all need to get back into that. And in obedience to the Spirit, it ain't nothing like being in the Word of God. But in Isaiah 6, we'll read the first 8 verses.
Okay. In the King James, the first 8 verses, in the King James it reads as follows. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Above it stood the serpent. Each one had 6 wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried unto another, and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said, I woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the serpents unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongue from off the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth and said, No, this hath touched my lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thine sin paid. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. Amen.
Amen, amen. Praise God. From the Message Bible. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Master sitting on a throne, high, exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Angel seraph hovered above him, each with 6 wings, with 2 wings they covered their faces, with 2 their feet. With 2 they flew, and they called back and forth one to the other, Holy, holy, holy is God of the angel army. His bright glory fills the whole earth. The foundation trembled at the sound of the angel voices, and then the whole house filled with smoke. I said, Doom, it's doomsday. I'm as good as dead. Every word I've ever spoken is tainted, blasphemous even. And the people I live with talk the same way, using words that corrupt and disintegrate. And here I've looked God in the face. the King, God of the angel armies. Then one of the angel seraphs flew to me. He held a live coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. He touched my mouth with the coal and said, "Look, this coal has touched your lips. Gone your guilt, your sins wiped out." And then I heard the voice of the Master, "Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?" I spoke up, "I'll go. Send me." Amen, amen.
I'm going to point out a few things right quick. First of all, the book of Isaiah is just like the book of Revelation. It has a lot of hidden stuff in it. But you got to believe it. You know, just like it talk about the Virgin Mary, that's in the 7th chapter. God says, "Hey, here's how you're going to know I'm me. Here's how you're going to know what I'm telling you is true." He said, "A virgin shall be with child." Well, see, people, that, hey, ain't no virgin going to have no baby. Who's going to believe that? I mean, come on now. Come down to earth, brothers and sisters. Ask yourself, how many virgins you know finna have babies? Well, they were just as human as you are.
Amen.
They were. But they had to be believed beyond that. So they started practicing with their women and grooming them so they would become a virgin. And they told them the importance that God was going to find favor in a virgin. And you might need to be the one. So keep yourself clean. Keep yourself on spot. Keep yourself straight. Don't be fumbling around. Don't be letting nobody touch you down there. I'm just going to make a plane for you, y'all. Don't even touch it. Don't even let nobody look at that. Because God wants a pure virgin.
Yeah.
And the girl, when you do your research, and you'll see that as you follow that, even up until Christ was born, there was all kind of virgins. It was more virgins in the land than ever at any time in the world. Right before Christ was, right before he chose Mary. And then after Mary had conceived and bare forth Christ, there was a whole lot of Christs out there. There was a whole lot of babies out there. Do your research. Because when John was in prison, John said, "Go see if that's the Christ." Because there were so many of them out there. He said, "Go see if that's the Christ." And they went and they said, "Well, he said he's the Christ." John said, "Go back and find out. Tell him that I said, 'Are you the Christ?'" And so when the disciples went and asked, John said, asked Jesus, "Are you the Christ?" He said, "Go back and tell John, call him back, to tell John that the blind see, the lame walk, the deaf is speaking, and the poor have the gospel preached unto them." And so the disciples went and told John. John said, "That's the Christ. Follow him. Let them other folks go. Follow him. That's the Christ." But nobody else knew the secret words yet. But anyway, Isaiah is a book of hidden knowledge, hidden wisdom for the people. Just like we living in the book of Revelation, and everybody don't understand it because they won't live it. They won't believe it. You're going to have to believe that you can get in Christ, okay? But anyway, the seraphim angels was mighty, powerful angels. They are the angels that protects God's throne. Remember when he ran Adam out of the garden? The angel that protected the garden was the seraphim angels.
Yeah.
Do your research. So they were powerful. Well, no, anybody, and they know anybody can get to the throne of God. Couldn't do it. The angels were too huge and too spiritually the power, but I'm not going to get into that. What I want to get to is the King Uzziah was a great king, nice man, just like the church. See, the church represent King Uzziah, the organized church. Whatever you need, run to the church. You need a wife, run to the church. You need healing, run to the church. You know, you just run to the church for everything. Come on, somebody.
All right, say it.
That's
say
what
that.
People teach. Now they get mm-hmm. it. They even got daycare at the church. You can get free meals at the church.
Mm-hmm.
They
okay,
use the
now.
Church for social. You can get a vaccine at the church. I won't go there with you guys today. I'm going to tell you, you want to get vaccinated? They got some church giving away free vaccinated. In hindsight, it's not true. Because the government giving the church the money to distribute it, it ain't like it's coming from them. But it makes it seem like they were doing that. That's what I say. You got to read the first five books, first five chapters of the book of Isaiah so you can see he announced all these woes. Woe unto this one, woe unto that, woe unto those that are calling good evil and evil good. And Isaiah was just pronouncing all these woes, and God was giving them to him to tell the people, to show the people. And so he had been preaching this stuff because he just wanted folks to know the truth. That's all. He wanted them to know the truth. But he didn't know enough about the truth. Because Uzziah was there. Every time he needed something, he'd go to the king. King Uzziah give it to him. He needed food. Uzziah give it to him. Whatever he needed. But there came a day, and in a year, I don't know what year it was. Y'all know how you remember certain things in the year, where you was when they bombed the Trade Center, when those two planes ran in there. That was a certain year, and you remember that. You know, there are certain mm-hmm. years that you remember things that big events in your life. But in this year was a big event because this was the year that King Uzziah died. You know, you may have had a relative that died, and that's the day you really got started getting close to the Lord, or you may have got out of a bad relationship, and it was that year, or you might have, went bankrupt, and it was that year, or I don't know, there's a year that something comes to mind that rocks your world like nothing other year did. No other year was like this year. I'm talking
mm-hmm.
about.
Say
but
that,
in
say
this
that.
Particular year, Uzziah died. Why is that so mm-hmm. important? Because if you're going to ever see Christ, you got to die, brothers and sisters. And God mm-hmm. is going to show you. So God showed Isaiah the church. So he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord Jesus
yeah.
Christ, sitting upon
mm-hmm.
a throne, high and lifted up. And he said,
mm-hmm.
that the train filled the temple. This was a spiritual temple. Same one as
yeah.
in Hebrews 8:1, the one God did. And the Bible says, above it stood cherubim angels. Not one, but many of them. I don't know how many it was. But one of them, he said, had six wings. And he talks about how they covered his face and his feet and all this good stuff. And they flew. They flew around protecting the throne. And they were crying out to each other, communicating with each other, just giving God praises. Isn't that something? They didn't have to go to a choir meeting to give God praise. They didn't have to go to a rehearsal.
Yes, come on now.
Help me, Holy Ghost. These mm-hmm. angels began
yes.
to talk about holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Why? Because he saw this glorious church, brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. The whole earth. You weren't talking about no building. He's talking about
mm-hmm.
us, bless God. We're filled with his glory. His glorious church. Anyway.
Yeah.
Let me put it right there. I think that's a good reading. If you go and read it spiritually, if you try to read it in the flesh and understand it, you're going to miss it. Read it with the understanding that he's talking about the church, the true church. Okay?
Anybody
have anything they
want to
share?
Amen. Yes, Pastor, when you talk about the church over in 1 Corinthians 6:19, If you will, can we read that?
Yeah.
But, you know, and I know the church is, so we have to let them know the church is.
Yes.
First
Corinthians,
6:19 in the King James, it reads as follows. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not of your own? Amen.
And read the 20th verse, too. Read that 20th verse.
Okay. And it reads as follows. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry. My computer switched. 1 Corinthians 6. Okay, I'll read the 19th again. What know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have not of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore, glory God in your body, in your spirit, which are God's. Amen.
Amen, amen. From the Message Bible. Or didn't you realize that your body is a sacred place, a place of the Holy Spirit? Don't you see that you can't live however you please, squandering what God paid such a high price for? The physical part of you is not some piece of property belonging to the spiritual part of you. God owns the whole world, so let people see God in and through your body. Amen, amen. So I just love that because, you know, it lets us know who the church is, and it's telling us that we're the church. And, you know, and with that Ephesians 5:27, where it says, it's telling us that he's looking for a church without a spot or a wrinkle. So he's talking about us. So once we become new in Christ, we are this church that the scripture is talking about. And so I love how Pastor brought that out, because I'm telling you, as long as I have been in church, it had never been brought out this way. And it makes it plain. Because we just, you know, like I said, we just taught to go to church and not to be the church. So we thank God that we are open up to the Spirit of God and allowing God's Spirit to guide us and direct us and to let us know that we are the church. And talking about not the church, you're talking about us. We're the body. We're that church, and we're the ones that have to be without spot or wrinkle. Praise God.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Pastor. And listen, brothers and sisters, next week, we're going to be talking about the true church. And you're going to be brought to you in a way like never brought before. Please, you're hearing. That's if you want truth.
Mm-hmm.
The true church. The true church now. If you want truth. You may not want the truth. You may want a truth. That may be good enough for you. But the true church.
Yeah,
we're going to talk about that next week. You're going to be brought out. And I want you all to know that we may just ask the question and then turn around and let the scripture answer it. Because I want you to know, I'm not trying to put anything in you other than what the Holy Ghost want to put in you. That's why I give you the scripture and tell you to search the scripture. Because there's a spiritual mystery here. Just like in the book of Isaiah, that was a spiritual mystery. Everybody they couldn't see God. They had too many other eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And you got to get rid of your other eyes if you want to see Christ. And I don't care if it can be a wife, it can be your children, it can be a job. Whatever hindering you from seeing all of what God got for you, let it die. Kill it. Crucify that thing. It ain't worth it. You can't. God is a jealous God. When you think your way is the best way, man, all you do is get yourself in trouble. Mm. God got the best way. You can't hold on to the world and Christ too. You got to let one or the other go. You're lukewarm. You can't be 50-50, 60-40 with God, 80-20. You're either going to be with him and let it go. You got to die. You got to be willing to give up everything like Paul did. He gave up. Mm-hmm. He said, I counted all as dumb. He counted like it was doo-doo.
Yeah, that's what it said. Mm-hmm.
That he may gain the excellency that's in Christ. So if you want to get God's best, you might give it all up. You might see everything as doo-doo. I know. I'm not your average preacher, so don't expect it.
Mm-hmm.
I say whatever the word of God says, though. That I will say. But meanwhile, I'm going to go to work, and I'm about to work over a little bit now because I spent the extra few minutes, and I want to be fair. I want to do the right thing. So y'all pray for me today and keep me lifted up. That God bring us into a